Hare Krishna. So it's a very great pleasure for me to be again here, the lotus feet of Sri Srini Thai Gaurasundar, Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish, and Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra. And to be here with all the devotees of New Dwarka, headed by Swavas Prabhu and all the wonderful devotees here. Is actually these little deities of Radha and Krishna were the first Radha and Krishna that I ever worshipped. I joined in Boulder, Colorado in 1969. There it was snowing, so they sent me here because they didn't have any money to buy any warm clothes. So I got sent here to be trained up. So these were the first, that time we didn't have the big deities, we just had the little tiny deities. And the temple was over on La Cienega at that time. Then later, we were sent to, later we came back, and after going back to Boulder, then we came back in January of 1970. The temple was still there in La Cienega, and Prabhupada, out of his unlimited mercy, initiated me. I can't say I took initiation, he gave me initiation. I'm still trying to become a disciple. But out of his unlimited mercy, he gave initiation to me in front of these little deities of Radha and Krishna, in front of Jagannath. And at that time, we didn't have Gornitai, we had Panchatattva that's now staying in Prabhupada Village in North Carolina. I was just there seeing those, that Panchatattva that we used to worship. At that time, Lord Jagannath was up very high, then there was a Panchatattva picture. He was on a big shelf up above like this, and it was Panchatattva like that. And little tiny Radha Krishna were there. So it's a great pleasure to again be here before my worshipful lordships, if they be at their lotus feet, the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, and be here with all the wonderful devotees. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 20, The Structure of the Universe. I think we start with 28, is it? 38, all right, we're on a different one. 38, okay, well, it's on a different page here. Okay. Oh, I didn't bring my glasses, okay. So this is just a prose one, so I don't, is it written anywhere? I guess not, huh? Anyway, we'll just chant it as best we can. Atavaloka vinaya somana lakshana samartabir vichintita kavibis satu panchasat koti ganitasya bhugolasya turiya bhagoyam loka chalaha. Itavan, this much loka vinyasaha, the placing of the different planets, mana with measurements, lakshana symptoms, samstabi, as well as their different situations, vichintitaha, established by scientific calculations, kavibi, by learned scholars, saha, that, tu, but, panchasat, koti, 500 million yojanas. Ganitasya, which is measured at Bhugolasya, of the planetary system known as Bhugolaka, Turiya Bhagaha, 1/4, I am this. Loka Loka Achalaha, the mountain known as Loka Loka. Translation: learned scholars who are free from mistakes, illusions, and propensities to cheat have thus described the planetary systems and their particular symptoms, measurements, and locations. With great deliberation, they have established the truth that the distance between Sumeru and the mountain known as Loka Loka is 1/4 of the diameter of the universe, or in other words, 125 million yojanas, 1 billion miles. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Biswanath Chakravarti Thakur has given accurate astronomical information about the location of Loka Loka Mountain, the movements of the sun globe, and the distance between the sun and the circumference of the universe. However, the technical terms used in this astronomical calculations given by the Jyotirved are difficult to translate into English. Therefore, to satisfy the reader, we may include the exact Sanskrit statement given by Srila Biswanath Chakravarti Thakur, which records exact calculations regarding universal affairs. And then there's a huge, gigantic Sanskrit slok here. If anybody very curious, they can go and read this slok. Om agyana timirandasya gyananangyana shalakaya chaksurun militandena tasmai sri gurave nama sri chaitanya manovistam stapitam jena bhutale sayam rupa kadamayam didati svaparandigam Aradhanastrinandantayvridam yachay puna puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, my eyes closed shut. My spiritual master has opened my eyes at the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So I guess this is not exactly our most favorite part of Srimad Bhagavatam. Very difficult to understand all these things. In fact, Prabhupada says we can't even translate the terms into English language, so it's very difficult for us to understand. We'll leave it. Unfortunately, Sataputta Prabhu has left our midst. He was the one who understood most of this the best, but they have many other devotees trying to analyze all these things, and so we can make our planetarium in Mayapur. But just a note on this is that we're discussing here Loka Loka mountain range. And in Mathura, there's one very large temple of Dwarkadish. I don't know what Dwarkadish is doing in Mathura, but some wealthy merchants have created a huge temple there. in the middle of the walled-off part of the city, the old town. But if you go up the lane, if you're facing the temple, you go up the lane on the right side, up about two streets, and then you turn right. First, you'll come to a temple of Swetbraha, the white Braha temple. As we know, there's two different incarnations of the Lord Braha. So this is Swetbraha. Now, though Sweta means white, because we know Sweta Dweep, and we're also Sweta, we're white. Previously, they were not allowing us to enter that temple. The pujaris there were very strict about not letting white people enter this temple of white Braha. But recently, a couple of years ago, when we were having the... Well, this dispute is still going on with Radha Damodar. We had gone to see the local MP, Madhavinder Singh. So there was one fellow there. He introduced himself as Sarvesh Sharma. And he told me he owns this temple of Lord Braha. I said, which one, Lal or Swet? He said, Swet Braha. He said, why we're not allowed to go there? He said, no. That was my... Those are previous uncles and father and uncles. Now you can come. You please come. You bring all your devotees and come. So with great pleasure in my heart, I inform you that now you're able to visit the Swet Braha temple. But anyway, you continue up that street and you go through a little lane, it turns to the left, and you come to a dead end, and that is Lal Braha. Now this deity, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this deity was originally worshipped by Lord Brahma. Because Lord Brahma, he was quite astounded when this deity of Lord Braha appeared. In fact, his appearance is also very astounding. He simply appeared out of the nostril of Lord Brahma and then began to expand into a huge form. And he began to roar, and that vibration went throughout the universe, and all the sages and rishis were all reciprocated by chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Because ordinarily we don't appreciate the sound of a boar. But they were able to perceive that this was not an ordinary boar and this was not an ordinary sound. Generally we're very much frightened to hear that sound. It's very gross. But the sound of Lord Braha was so transcendental that all the sages began to chant the holy name, and there was a transcendental concert vibrating in the heavens. So anyway, Lord Brahma, he was very fascinated, so he had a deity made of a lord of that Lal Braha, a reddish Braha. So when you go there, you can see, although we generally see the picture of Lord Braha carrying a globe on his tusk, there he's carrying, because mandala actually means a circle. As we read about the description of Bhumandala, that there's this Jambudweep, and then there's another dweep, and Kroncha dweep, and Laksha dweep, and I don't know, so many dweeps are there. And they're all described as being circles. So mandala, just like you see sometimes, especially in South India, every morning they like to make these mandalas, these round things. So there you can see, because this was made by Lord Brahma, should know exactly how the universe looks. So there you will see Lord Braha's carrying a flat mandala on his tusk. And you can see that Manasotara mountain range. And then you can see also this Loka mountain range going around like this. You can see it's very, very interesting deity like that. So we get this. This deity was actually gotten made by Lord Brahma. As we said, he engineered the whole universe, so he knows everything, how it looks. So instead of a globe, we see this Bhumandala. And the pujaris there have always been very friendly to us. They allow us to come right up on the altar and peek in the, you know, because there's quite a few steps up, and you can come up and right up to the doorway and take your darshan, and you can see all the things that I'm talking about. So that Loka mountain range and that Manasotara mountain range, you see them all running around like this on Lord Brahma's tusk. Now how this deity ended up in Mathura is also very interesting. Because Srila Bhakti, there's a book there, they can show you, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta has written about this. Because he took his prikama there, so he signed the guest book, so to speak. All the pandas, they always, pujaris, they always mean some book, so that you're in the book, so you're their client, their customer. So, there he describes that Lord Brahma, he worshipped this deity for some time, then he gave it to Kuber. And when Ravana conquered the heavens and all the demigods, and he took that deity from Kubera and he began to worship it in Lanka. And when Lord Ram defeated Ravan, then he brought that deity back to Ayodhya. Now, there's some connection between Braj and Braj Leela and Ram Leela. Because after Lord Ram returned to Ayodhya, in Madhuvan, there was one daitya named Madhu who was living there. And although he was a daitya, demon, he was worshipping all the demigods and he was very respectful to the brahmanas. This is very interesting. Somehow he managed to please Lord Shiva such that Lord Shiva appeared before him and he took his trident, his trishul, and he made one photocopy. Like, and he offered it to Madhu and said that as long as you hold this trishul within your hand, nobody in the entire universe will be able to conquer you. So Madhu was very pleased. He bowed at Lord Shiva's lotus feet. He prayed that this trishul should always remain within our dynasty. And Lord Shiva said, it will not be. Ordinarily they say, tatastu. And he said, it will not be. Because your son, he will misuse this trishul against the demigods, and therefore it will return to me. But as long as you have it, nobody can bother you. You can live peacefully. So he lived peacefully there in Madhuvan. In fact, that's one of the reasons they say this place is known as Madhuvan, because this Madhu Daitya was there. And it came to pass that he had a son named Lavanasur. Do we have any Bengalis here? Nobody knows the meaning of Lavan.
What was that?
Nope. Lavan means just like in Braj we say namak, salt. But in Bengali, then when they want salt, they say loban. So Lavan means salt. So some type of salty asura was there. In fact, the Brijbasis say that's one of the reasons why the water in Braj, if you've been there, you know, before when we used to go, we used to drink the local water and we got very sick because it was very salty. So they say this guy has just, when Lord Shatrughan killed him, then he disturbed all the groundwater. So it became salty. Anyway, this Lavanasur was there. And he was such a demon. You know, boys, they like to play different types of games, especially war games. But in these war games, he would actually kill and eat his playmates. He was such a demon. So, of course, for the parents, the children are their life and soul. And when the children go bad, then there's no more pleasure left in a household or life. At least in India, here we don't care to even have children. But anyway, Madhu, he became very disturbed that he had such a horrible son, so he just gave up his householder life and went off to perform penances and austerities and crowned him as the king. So when Lavanasur became the king, then he began to persecute everyone and he forbade there cannot be any worship of Lord Vishnu, no chanting of the names of Lord Vishnu, no yajñas. He would go where the sages in the forest were performing yajñas, and he would pass stool and urine on their yajna kund, and he would kill the sages, take his trishul and poke them and eat them, and all kinds of horrible things he was doing. In this way he conquered the even the demigods were frightened of this because Lavanasur, because he had that trishul. And he forbade that there cannot be any worship of Lord Vishnu or koi Bhagawan nahi, keval Lavanasur hi Bhagawan. There's no other Bhagawan except Lavanasur. Bhagawan Lavanasur ki. Oh, we have some demons here. They're disguised as devotees, but they're actually demons. All right. Now we found them out. So, anyway. So Chavana Rishi, being persecuted by this Lavanasur, he took a party of rishis and they went to Ayodhya. As soon as the doorman told Lord Ram that Chavana Rishi and many rishis are there, Lord Ram personally came to the door to receive them. And he said, whatever it is that you require, you desire, I grant you that benediction. And Chavana Rishi said, you haven't even heard what we want. Other kings, after hearing our petition, they don't even want to hear that petition even in dream. So Lord Ram says, come, sit down and tell me about it. So they explained all about this Lavanasur, that there was one king named Manduka Maharaj. And he conquered almost all the kings of the earth, so then he decided to go and fight with Indra. So even in the heavenly planets, we always read there's some battle always going on. Even though we think we'll go to heaven and enjoy, still there's always some disturbance there. It's not free from disturbance. But ordinarily, 99% of the time, the demigods, they don't go looking for trouble. They're having a good time. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't go looking for trouble. But the demons, since that's their nature to cause trouble, and if anybody's having a good time, they like to go and disturb. So they're always attacking. So this Manduka, he came there, he challenged Indra. Indra's, oh, this guy's here to spoil everything. He said, look, you have conquered almost all the kings of the earth, but you have not conquered this Lavanasur. You conquer this fellow, then you come back, and then we'll have a fight. Because he was thinking how to get out of this fight. Because they're not interested in fighting. So then, that Manduka, he said, all right. He went back very happy. Now I'll conquer this Lavanasur, and I'll come back and take over the heavens. And Indra, he was very happy. Now this guy's finished. He's all right. Ramba, Sangeeta, Urvasi, let's get it on. So he came there with his entire army to attack Lavanasur. When Lavanasur saw him, he just began to laugh. Ha 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 ha! I needed some breakfast, some dessert to go with my breakfast today. And he took his trishul and he burnt all of Manduka Maharaj's army completely to ashes. Just he toasted Manduka Maharaj just a little bit and had him for his dessert. So since that time, no king even wants to hear our petition, in dream even. Then Bharat said, look, Bhai, you were just in the forest for 14 years. Better you stay here. I'll go take care of this demon. And he's just a puny little demon. And then Shatrughan said, no, Bhaiya, you were sitting in the forest in Nandigram performing so many penances and austerities. You stay here and enjoy. I will go take care of this demon. Then he thought, oops. Because in Vedic culture, it's not proper for the younger persons to speak in front of the older person. So he's interrupted his older brother. And he said, well, all right, actually, you should go. I'm sorry I spoke. And Lord Ram said, no, you're a good quality that you admit your mistake. Nobody admits his mistake. Murphy says that to err is human, but to blame it on someone else is even more human. So, so we never admit our own mistakes. So Lord Ram said, by your admission like this, you show your good qualities. You're the one to go and take care of this demon. So then Shatrughan, he went off with Chavana Rishi, and they went to back to Madhuvan. The night before they reached Madhuvan, Chavana Rishi said that even you, Lord Shatrughan, you will not be able to conquer this fellow if you catch him with his trishul in his hand. We have to find him without that trishul. So how can we do that? Well, in the morning he goes hunting for his breakfast. If we catch him at that time before he gets back to his palace, then you have some chance. So then they went there very early in the morning. He was just coming back from his hunt. He had a shul, just a spear, single spear, shul. And he had a big tiger, he had a lioness, he had a braha, a boar, and python. That was just his breakfast, hanging on his spear. And Shatrughan came forward and said, "I challenge you, I am the younger son, younger brother of Lord Ram, and I have come here to challenge you to a fight." And Lavanasura became very happy. "Ah, ha, 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 I needed some dessert for my breakfast this morning." He said, "All right, just let me go get my weapons and we'll fight." And Shatrughan said, "What do you mean, go get your weapons? You're afraid. You're making some excuse to leave the battlefield because you're afraid of me." "Well, how can a Kshatriya fight without weapon? I have to go get my weapons." "If you don't have any weapon, then what did you kill all these animals with? You're just a coward and making some excuse to run away." Then he threw those animals off that shul and a big duel began. And they were fighting and fighting and fighting, and they were ripping up trees and ripping up stones. And finally the fighting became so fierce that even Shatrughan, he lost his consciousness. When he fell down unconscious, all the demigods in the heavens began to cry, "Alas, alas." Did you ever hear anybody call "alas, alas"? I never heard, but all the books say that everybody cries "alas." Anyway, they were crying, "Alas, alas." So that Lavanasur, he did not take the opportunity to go back to his cave and get his trishul. He just was laughing and laughing. His laughter woke Shatrughan. Shatrughan stood up, regained his consciousness. He grabbed a special arrow from his quiver that Lord Ram had given him. That arrow began to glow. When he stuck it to the string, the earth began to shake. When he pulled it back, that Lavanasur grabbed his shul, and he set that arrow flying, and it's described that it made a sound just like a peacock in flight. Now, you've heard peacocks before. If you've been to Braj, you know, "Ew! Ew!" But I don't know if you've ever frightened one and it's flown away. Have you ever heard a peacock in flight? So he shot that arrow and it made a sound like a peacock in flight. Pow! And smashed it. Stuck in the heart of that Lavanasur. His salty blood went into the groundwater, destroyed all the groundwater. And Shatrughan made his capital there. He called it Madhupuri. Later became known as Mathura. The one thing we forgot was he asked when he was leaving, he asked Lord Ram, "Let me take that Brahadidi with me so that I can be able to assured of success." So he brought that Brahadidi to Mathura, therefore that Brahadidi is there. I can't see. What time is it? 7 after 8. Today's also the, I can't remember, disappearance of Svarupdhamadhar, appearance? Disappearance of Svarupdhamadhar. So he was he was considered like a second expansion of Lord Chaitanya. He assisted him in all of his, when Lord Chaitanya was relishing different moods, Svarupdhamadhar, he said he was like a Gandharva and he sang, and his learning was greater than Brihaspati. So he would sing different verses. Actually, he had gone, when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he went mad and he went to, his name was actually Purushottam Bhattacharya, and he went to Kashi and he took sannyas there from a Mayavad sannyasi. He got the name, but he didn't take a sannyasi name, he took a brahmachari name, Swarup. And after hearing that Mahaprabhu had returned to Puri, then he immediately came back. And he fell at the feet of Sriman Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu embraced him and kept him as one of his very close associates. He would always recite verses according to Mahaprabhu's mood. His temple is just around the corner from our ISKCON Bhakti Kutir in Puri. There's one Giridhari Mat. Actually, that's Jagadananda's, but they've combined. Actual temple is across the street from our temple, but that's been abandoned. It's about probably be turned into a hotel or something sometime. So they grabbed the deities from there and took them to Giridhari Mat. So he's sometimes described as Lalita, sometimes described as Visakha, and Gauragunadesha Deepika, he's described as Visakha. But sometimes he's also described as Salita. It's also Shivananda Sen's disappearance day. Disappearance. So he was also a very great devotee. He was from Kumarhat, and he joined Mahaprabhu, and he was a great landowner. So he was very wealthy. So when all the devotees would go to Puri, then he would finance. He would take a huge group, about 200 devotees. They would go to Puri. He would take care of all of their staying and fooding and lodging. And one time, he was got held up by a tax collector, and everybody was sitting under a tree, and Lord Nityananda became very upset, and he became angry, so he cursed that Shivananda Sen's all three sons would die. Then his wife began to cry, and Shivananda Sen, after finally taking care of the tax collector, he came there to arrange everybody's staying, and he saw his wife crying, and she explained what happened. He said, "Let our whole family die if we've caused inconvenience to Lord Nityananda." Then Lord Nityananda saw him and walked up and kicked him. And so then Shivananda Sen, he immediately made all of the residential arrangements, and he came there and he said, "Now my life is perfect. You have bestowed your mercy upon me, and by your chastising me, that means you've accepted me as your servant, and you've given me the proper punishment for my offense, and please always bless me in this way." He was very pleased by Lord Nityananda's punishment. Lord Nityananda, as we know, he's avadut, so he can do funny things. So he kicked Shivananda Sen. Srikant, his nephew, was upset. He went to Puri, and Mahaprabhu said, "Doesn't matter, just he calmed him down." And then when they got there, all the devotees saw Sriman Mahaprabhu. We know the other pastime, of course, of Shivananda Sen was that one time when dog was coming, so Shivananda Sen was also paying for that dog and maintaining that dog. And even one time when Muslim boatwala, he didn't want to take the dog on his boat, so Shivananda Sen, because usually people, it's not that he didn't want to take the dog, but he knew that, because nobody ever stalks straight in India, so they figure out some way to make some money, so he made an objection that we don't want this dog, so you know, then he'll get some extra money. So then Shivananda Sen paid extra money for that dog to go. Then one day he had to go do some errands, and he told his second in charge that please make sure the dog gets his meals. And when he came back, he sat down to take his meal. He asked his second in charge, "Did you feed the dog?" He said, "No." Then immediately sent 10 people. He sent 10 people to find this dog. And when they couldn't find the dog, then Shivananda Sen fasted that day. But when they reached Puri, of course, we know that dog was sitting there with Sriman Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu was throwing him green coconut pulp and telling him, "Chant Krishna, Krishna." And the dog was chanting Krishna, Krishna, and all the devotees were astounded. And the next day that dog was not seen because he went straight to Vaikuntha. Thus being favored by Shivananda Sen, he got the association of Mahaprabhu and he got freed from material existence. So this is our hint that we should always take shelter of the devotees so that we can become free from this material existence and attain the lotus feet of Sriman Mahaprabhu. So, thank you very much, and Hare Krishna. So, yeah. Hare Krishna.
You had mentioned that Sarup Damodar Maharaj, when he went to Kashi and took sannyas, he took a brahmachari name.
Yes.
And he did not assume the trappings of a sannyasi.
Yes.
As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself did.
Yes.
Do you know the background behind that? Why he didn't?
It doesn't mention. Prabhupada just mentions in the purport that he accepted a brahmachari name and certain thing. He cut off his sikha, but he didn't take orange cloth. This mentioned there, Prabhupada specifically mentions he didn't take orange cloth, but he did take other trappings of sannyasi, but he didn't take his sannyas name. He said he should have been Tirtha, but he's Swarup. And we know also that Mahaprabhu put Raghunath Das Goswami under the guidance of Swarup Damodar. So we're out of time. It is a little brief glorification of these great personalities. But I don't know. That's something to find out.
Thank you, Rami. Dinabandhu Prabhu is speaking, giving Krishna Katha this evening at my apartment, number 2. Everyone is invited. We had a wonderful experience last night. He told us a lot of beautiful Braja pastimes and beautiful songs. So please come and take advantage of someone who resides in the Holy Dham, and you can get a lot of benefit. Hare Krishna. It's at 7 o'clock. And for those listeners in the internet, if they want to come, please. So anyway, we're having bhajans at 6 o'clock, but he will be speaking around 6:45 or 7 o'clock.
So there's no other questions. We can all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's given us all these wonderful descriptions in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki.